Let me ask you this question. All right, let me ask you this question. So PTL, when they were out there in the Bakers, what kind of an image, what did they do to the image of Christianity? Somebody go ahead and say. You can say words.
They made it look as if it was just all about money, and that there was nothing behind it other than they were
greed,
there for profit, greed.
Let me ask you this. Did they cause damage?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I thought they were selling makeup.
There was a product line in there, I'm sure. Listen, that's the way it would look if I put on makeup. But anyway, I'm not kidding.
Yes, I had a girlfriend that actually watched that program one time, and she stopped coming to church. She was coming to the church that I was. And I asked her after she'd been not there for several weeks, and I made some comment, and she said, "You guys are all about money. It's not about what's in the heart. It's
right.
All about money." I'm like, where did you get that?
Yeah.
You know, I was really kind of shocked and set back. At that time, we belonged to a church called Macomb Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where did you come up with that?
Mm-hmm. And that was it, right?
And that was it.
Listen. The image is all that the devil can destroy. Okay? He can't. The devil cannot fight God. It can't happen. Okay? He can't do anything with that. That's why he attacks the image. Okay? That's why we're attacked. Okay? Because if we... Listen, you know what brings glory to God? Let me tell you some things that bring glory to God. Their marriage brings glory to God. They've been married for so long, right? That doesn't mean you're old.
And just how long have you been?
Yeah, how many years?
She was 4 when we got married.
Right.
7.
Right.
You're quite young.
You're young. I did. Huh?
46.
46 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. Anybody got more than 46 in here right now? Okay.
We're the oldest?
No, the oldest married. The longest married.
Oh.
Not the oldest. Stay with me now. Okay, so what brings glory to God? That brings glory to God.
A rich uncle
brings glory to God. Right? Our successes, stay with me. Our success brings glory to God.
Yes.
Do you hear me? Your success in your relationships with your family, with your wife, with your husband, that brings glory to God. Okay. Does everybody know how to bring glory to God? Succeed. Succeed in showing the image of God. The image of God is what brings glory to God when we do that, okay? So, we know that part. So now, I'm going to tell you, first I'm going to talk about one more thing, and then we're going to go to the story. A garden. Anybody have gardens? Anybody doing it? You doing a garden this year? Great. I want to be good friends with you. Listen, that takes some work, right? That's why I don't have one. But I really like those people who do. A garden is a great thing, but a garden takes work. Caleb, what do you got to do in a garden to make it good?
Got to water it.
What else?
Sun. Gotta...
There's one here we're missing. We got to pull the weeds. We got to get the weeds out. The weeds are in there. They're growing. Weeds affect our garden, correct? They affect our garden. They kill our stuff. They choke it out. I don't know if anybody had a dad like me, but when I was growing up, my dad had us do the lawn. Are you with me? Me and my brothers, we had to do the lawn. We had to get the weeds out of the cracks. You know, but you know what we would do? I'm going to tell you my professional weeding. This was my professional weeding. I would go and pull the tops off. they'd look like they were gone. I'd pull all the tops off, and then I'd tell my dad. I'd say, dun da da, like Superman. I've done it, dun da da, and he would go out there and go. And then he'd go, "You did," and he'd reach down, and my dad had real strong hands. You know, dads do. And he would reach down, he'd grab like the top of the angle, and he'd pull out this thing, have a root on it that long. He'd go, "You did, huh?" I'm like, "Well, well, I mean, anybody could have. But it was everywhere. That's the way my professional weeding was not that good. I'm just letting you know. I never got paid for weeding. Not that good. But I learned something, right? We learned something. And he would always tell me, if you don't get the root, what's going to happen? It's going to come right back. Okay. All right. Now I want you to all kind of go into an imagination mode. I want you to imagine something with me. I want you to imagine a farm somewhere in the southern, western part of our country. Houses are kind of miles apart. It's in the 1950s, sometime kind of late in the 50s, okay? There is a farm, has a house. You know, they have the drive and everything. Then they have a barn that's not too far away. Because now they build barns far away from houses, but in those days they didn't. They were kind of close, okay? So the barn's not too far away. Just a nice regular farmhouse. There's a lady there who is in her later 30s. And she has a 10-year-old son, blonde hair. And it's summertime. Everybody with me so far? It's summertime. And the father has passed away, okay? Some sickness, and he's gone. It's just the mom and the son. And she struggles. And she's got this 10-year-old son. His name's Billy. It's almost the end of the school year. You can see this all happening. Sun shining. And the thing for Billy is, Billy had a dog. And back then, Charles M. Schultz and all that was, you know, coming up. And he had named his little dog, it's a mutt, Heinz 57 kind of dog. But he named it Snoopy. And Snoopy was his little dog, and this dog absolutely loved Billy. I mean, just everywhere. If you looked somewhere, Billy was there and the dog was there. Now, this dog, like I said, it's not very big, but there it was. Okay? And it was always with them, following them around. And when Billy would get up in the morning to go to the school bus, the dog followed him right down to the school bus, and the school bus picked him up, and the dog ran a little bit after the bus. And then the dog, when he came home, when the bus came down the road, the dog was waiting right there for Billy. They got along. They did everything together. They would go on their adventures together, getting in behind and going down by the creek and everything they would do. Well, let me tell you this. School was out and Billy was free and Snoopy was free, and they ran around together and they went down on adventures. And every day they would come home, and as soon as they would come home, guess what the mom would do? Hold it, Billy. He got stopped at the door every day. Empty your pockets, Billy. Well, he'd pull out a frog. He'd pull out, you know, a stick, rocks. He'd pull out, you know, this was cool or whatever. He'd bring out all kinds of stuff. And she would say, okay, that's not coming in. Nope. And, you know, the rocks got to stay. She would empty his pockets every day when he came in. But for him, it was a great adventure. And he enjoyed it. One day he came home, and with his faith, guess who was right beside him? Snoopy. He came home, and because when he was out, he had found, to him, not nothing big deal, but a little snake, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 inches long. Nothing to him. He had grabbed it, and he brought it home, and Snoopy was jumping at it. But, you know, he get away, Snoopy. And he put it in his pocket, and he went home. And then when he got home, guess what his mom did?
Empty your pockets.
Empty your pockets, Billy. So Billy did the other pocket first, right? Just a rock. Empty the other pocket, Billy. Ah! She freaks out. Mothers freak out about some stuff. Let me just tell you, I've heard the mom scream myself, okay? From something that I've shown her. I had a fake split thumb one time in school. You know, that is a rubber thing with a big split, like, right down the middle? Oh! And then that was not good. If my mom dies early, it's my fault. But listen, so Billy did this. He made his mom freak out. Ah! She said, Billy, I want you to take that snake, take it behind the barn, and you kill it right now. That is a poisonous snake. That's a diamondback rattler. Mom, it's cute. This is a cute. I don't want to kill it. Mom, don't. Can I keep it? What is the mom gonna say? No way you ain't keeping that snake. Take it out there right now and kill it. Oh, Mom, but you know I got a place to keep them. You know how kids do. You guys ever seen a kid like that? But I can do this and I can do. He said, take it out and kill it. So he goes, he says, oh, okay. Taking that snake, and he gets the hoe, right? Because that's everybody who kills a snake in the South, you do it with a hoe, just so you know. No, that's true. So he grabs the hoe, and he comes out, and he goes behind the barn, and he's got that little snake, and he's been petting it, son. And he sets it down. He's got the hoe. Oh, you little snake. And the snake's looking at him. You know how they do. He's looking at it. And it's so cute to him, you know. And picks it up. He doesn't kill it. Goes in the barn. Snoopy's following this whole time. Man. Snoopy wants to get to that snake, like, big time. But he goes into the barn, and he's got an old aquarium. And he puts it in the aquarium, and he takes a big piece of wood that's in there, plywood, and he lays it on the top, and he puts a brick on top. Then he comes back around the house and comes up to the house, and the mom says, did you kill that snake, Billy? Yeah. Okay, Billy, because I want to make sure we got that snake killed. So they went in, they had dinner. After dinner, Billy's, after dinner, he's concerned. He's got that snake out there. And he had seen these, dead bugs and some other stuff there. And some bugs. And he grabbed them in his hand. He's all done with dinner. And he runs. He goes, I got to go outside, Mom. He goes outside. He gets out there in the barn. Dogs follow him the whole way. The dog, now listen, let me tell you what. Billy doesn't let the dog in the barn. He closes, you know how big barn doors are? He closes this big barn door, and the dog begins to, it's a little dog, he's scratching under the door. He says, you can't come in here. He's barking at the door, but he goes over there to the snake thing. He pulls a brick off, moves the wood, he puts his bugs in, and he watches, and it eats them. It's like, yeah. He's enjoying his time with the snake. And then Billy, his mom's calling Billy. Goes out, come on, dog. And he goes back to the house, right? He does this for a while. And he's really enjoying being out there. He'll open up the top and he'll take the snake and he'll pet it and everything. And he'll put it back in. And the whole time, though, Snoopy's going crazy at that door. Those little paws, you ever see the way dogs get their arms? Their legs. Their legs under the door, right? You ever seen them? Come on, somebody be with me, right? You've seen them, when they're trying to get in with their paws, they try and get in somewhere, right? You've seen them dig? This dog, it wants to get in there. Scratching on the door, and doing, well, it can't get in. He's got it blocked out. Well, he goes on for a while, right? Well, guess what? One night he gets out there, and he's going to go see a snake, and Snoopy's following him, and he goes out, and real quick, he's got the top open, he's got the snake, and he's fed it and everything, and he's like, oh, is it? And his mom, he hears his mom coming, Billy, she's real close. Now he's like kind of in a panic. He puts the snake in, he grabs the wood, he puts it on, and he puts a brick up real quick, and he runs out. What, Mom? You know, Snoopy's out there. What? Well, it's time to come in. What were you doing? Oh, just in the barn. Okay. She's good. But now he doesn't know for sure if he closed the lid that good. He doesn't know. He doesn't know if it's closed all the way. He can't remember, but he's got to go in now and eat. So he eats real quick. You ever seen kids eat real quick like that? I'm all done. Anyway, so he got all done, and he goes out to the barn, and Snoopy's following him. And he goes out to the barn, and he gets and closes Snoopy out, and he goes over by that aquarium, and he's looking in. He doesn't see the snake. But he sees the top is like kind of open. And on the one end, he didn't close it good. The snake's not in there. So now he starts taking in the barn one of the tools, and he's moving the stuff around. There's hay and stuff, and he's moving stuff. He's looking for the snake. All of a sudden, he does see it. There it is. But it doesn't look the same as it's always looked. It doesn't look the same. It's coiled up at him. You know, it's coiled, and it's looking at him. But he's like, and it shocked him kind of because it was like that, you know. And right at that exact time, this thing's coiled up only a couple feet from him. All that time Snoopy's been trying to dig under the door, he makes a big enough gap where he can slither in, right? Where he can get in. The dog comes running over there. The snake lunges towards Billy. They straighten out their body. And Snoopy runs right in front of it. He yipes, grabs the snake. You know, you ever seen dogs when they grab onto something? They start to sling it. This little dog starts swinging that snake. And yipes. Billy's over there trying to get... And now, listen, Billy loves Snoopy. Okay, as much as you can love a dog. He loves this dog. And he's trying to get him apart. And he finally gets Snoopy away, and he gets the snake away. And but now it's when he does that, and then he takes the hole. Listen, the snake is there, and he finishes it. But then he looks over at Snoopy, and Snoopy's laying there, not moving. Not moving. He's just whimpering. He picks this little dog up, goes running to the house, running out of the barn. He runs to the house. Mom! He's screaming all the way, Mom, Snoopy got this. Snoopy got bit. That snake you told me to throw away or to kill. I didn't kill it, and here it is. And Snoopy's hurt. She comes running out automatically. Like, she runs out on the porch. And she sees Snoopy, and she says, Billy, I know about Snoopy. Did you get bit? Did you get bit? Well, see, it was coming around my leg, but did you get bit? She's holding him. Did it bite you? It stung my leg a little bit right here, but that's all. I'm okay, Mom. Take care. No, Billy. Come with me. She took him in. You know, they laid Snoopy on something soft, whatever. They took him into the house. Sure enough, when he pulled his pant leg up, he had just a small nick, it looked like, where the snake had bit him. She said, Billy, you've been bit by a poisonous snake. This is a day when doctors weren't close. This is a day when you couldn't just cell phone them in, you know? You couldn't drive the little bit. The doctor had to come to them. They had the old phone called, and the doctor said, you know, my son's been bit by a snake. And now she comes in there. They told her some stuff to do. She laid him down. She covered him up. He's starting to chill. All kinds of things are happening here. She goes in the kitchen. She gets a knife. She puts it over the fire. You know, she's alcohol, all that stuff you got to do. She comes back to Billy and she says, Billy, we have to get that poison out, you know. We have to get the poison out. This is going to hurt. But we have to do this. And if we don't, Billy, you could die. And he said, okay, Mom. And she took and she cut deeper than a little bit. She had to cut down a ways into his leg, right? And then she squoze and she, listen, he was already going into like kind of shock. No time for taking pain medicine, so of course he screamed. Let me tell you what, the doctor made it, and Billy lived, he was okay. He had a scar on his leg. Snoopy died. right? This is a story. This is a story about what happens to us if we have pet sins. Are you with me?
Amen.
If we're holding on to something nobody else knows about, right? Nobody else knows about, just us, right? No, none of you know. You can look at me. We could look at Billy. He looked like a kid who wasn't keeping a rattlesnake. Right? Some of us are keeping rattlesnakes, and people don't know. There's a warning. There's a warning. There's a beware. You know, I thought about that. There's not too many bewares anymore. Usually it just says warning, right? There used to be signs that said, beware. Right? There used to be more like the skull and crossbone things, right? Were like really big. But they don't put the... If you look, that's not on a lot of stuff anymore. That's scary. Right? We should have skull and crossbones on some stuff, I think. There's some stuff that will kill you. Let me tell you something else about sin and personal sin in our own lives. Your relationships will die because of your personal sin. Billy lost Snoopy, right? I want you to stay with me now, biblically. Jonah, remember those sailors? Right? Collateral damage, right? They're on the same boat with this guy. They're all going down. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't their personal sin against God, right? Let me tell you something. Other people are hurt by your and my sins. And they're hurt bad. We destroy the image of God. It can't grow. Song of Solomon. All you older people know that book? All right, hey, that's good. They do not let children in Jewish children read that book until a certain age. Did you know that? That's true. Are you? Do you guys believe that? They don't let children a certain age in Israel read that book. Does that amaze you? Hey, that's a great book for a married adult people. That's a good book. Right here?
Yeah.
All right, man, I need somebody with me here. That's a great book. But guess what it says in there? Guess what it says in there? There's a verse in there that is going to help you, I hope, if you keep it for the rest of your life. Okay? It is found in chapter 2. Hang on. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And verses 14 and 15. Well, let's see. Let's just go to 15. 15. And somebody got... Please look that up with me. I want you to know something because this is a warning. This is a beware. This is to us. The greatest thing we can do to reflect God's love, to reflect God, I'll let you know, to reflect God is to love. Do you hear me? The greatest reflection of God we can have in our lives is when we love each other. When we love our husbands, we love our wives, we love our children, we love our grandchildren. Do you hear me? The greatest expression, the greatest image we can show to the world, how will they know we are Christians? By our love. Our reflection of God's love towards us. Okay? I'm sorry, I'm hurrying. Verse 15. I thought, don't go to sleep on me, Mike. Okay. Verse 15 of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Somebody going to read it? I will let you read it if you read it loud. Come on.
Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom.
Okay. Somebody else read another version?
Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom.
Somebody else got another? I got King James here. Go ahead.
Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom.
Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. That's the King James.
Can you read that again?
Yes, I will. I'd love to. Somebody else, if you got another version, I want to hear like another thing, because there's some other cool ones.
Seize ye for us the foxes, little foxes, destroyers of vineyards, even our sweet-smelling vineyards.
That's a good one, isn't it? Here's the King James again. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. I want you to know something about foxes today. Foxes are cunning. Foxes, so they're smart. They're small. They move quickly. They get in places where other people, where you think you can't, right? Foxes do that. This says, catch those little foxes, right? Catch the foxes, trap them, whatever you... Catch the foxes, because if we don't catch them, what will they do to the vine? What will they do to the fruit? They will eat it. They eat. That's something for them. We know this. This is factual. Catch them, because they will ruin the fruit. Ruin what you're bringing in. What did I say? What happened with Billy? He ruined a great relationship, right? Yeah, with his dog, his best, he ruined it. He ruined her. Well, how do you think he did to his mom? What kind of damage did he do to that relationship, right?
No.
That ruins, let me tell you what, little foxes ruin it. Yes, ma'am.
Not to mention the pain that it caused him, right?
And yeah.
Obviously, there was serious pain that he had to endure as a result of that.
Almost death.
But the pain of having to go through that, he could not escape that pain to heal. So the pain itself, it's hard. You can't bypass it. That's a great analogy. That word picture is a great word picture.
Let me tell you something. Kill these things early. The worst thing that can happen in friendships or relationships is that there is jealousy. Okay? Jealousy can happen. Right? Listen, people think jealousy died in the Garden of Eden or when Cain killed Abel. Oh, jealousy's all over. No, that's not true. That's alive and well. People feed that snake. Okay? We need to kill things early. You need to get it by the root. If you just take off the top, nobody sees, right? Remember what I was saying? I tore the tops off. You couldn't see that I left that root down in there from that dandelion, right? But if you don't get the root, it comes back every time. Every time. That's the way weeds are. We got to keep it clear. Let me tell you something else. It's possible for anyone. There's none of us in this room that are, oh, that won't happen to me. You ever heard people say that? Oh, boy, that's dangerous. Listen, it can happen to anybody. All right, let me tell you what little foxes will do. Jesus was people-oriented. He was concerned with the needs of people around him. Watch out for little things. We need to watch out for little things. Doesn't the Bible talk... What does the Bible say about this tongue? What is it? But it calls it a...
Fire.
The fire, but it calls it a small, right? Remember when he uses the analogy with the boat? You know, this huge boat is turned by that little small rudder. Little things, the way you talk, what you say about, what you say towards people, how you say things, the kindness that you have. Remember, we're talking about the image of God. So how you talk is important. Okay, listen to this. Little things will tear you down. Little things will tear you down. Little things will destroy your home. Stay with me. Little things will destroy your marriage. Little things will separate you from God. Your relationship to God,
amen,
is damaged by little things.
Yes.
Listen, the chances of me tomorrow going out and having a heroin overdose are like none. Right? Really? Come on, think about it for a minute. That's a big fox, right? That's a big thing. Now, the chances of me going out tomorrow and saying something unkind, or just maybe a little not right to one of my kids, that's very possible. That could happen today. I got to be watchful. Okay, listen. Okay. Little things will hinder your prayer life. Little things will stunt your spiritual growth. Little things will turn you around. Little things will cause you stress. Little things will hurt your spiritual... Well, listen to this one. Little things will hurt the spiritual growth of a church. Do you hear me? If we're carrying around little sins, that's going to hurt everyone at Cornerstone. Little things will keep a revolving door in the church. Isn't that right? Yeah. Little things will drive the divorce rate up. Listen to this. Watch out for the little foxes. Let's pay attention as God moves us forward. Okay. We're going to pray. I ran my time out. Avoid bitterness. Take the roots out. Any comment? Go ahead.
I just think about weeds, how we pull them, and then we have to go back again and pull them. And it's not like we can... A lot of sins that we think, okay, I'm done with that. I'm finished with that. But we have to keep going back. Take care of it again.
Right. We don't stop, right? We got to keep going back. Very good.
And even if you pull out the roots of an old weed, usually new weeds grow back.
Right.
So, you know, we're never exempt. We're never perfect, but we're working our way there. And that's the goal, is to keep pulling the weeds anyways.
Very good. Go ahead.
And the thing is, Scripture talks about putting off and putting on. So you can pull those weeds out, but unless you replace it with the right thing, the weeds are going to go back.
She's right. That's very good. Yeah, you got to put something else in there sometimes, right? To keep them from coming back. Good job.
What was the Deuteronomy verse that you asked us to...
I'm sorry, I didn't even have you read.
That's all right.
Deuteronomy, it is about 29:18. Can you read it out loud, please? I'm sorry. I got these verses and I didn't do that. Oh, and I want to tell you guys something. My wife has not been here, not because she doesn't support me, but she's been working other ministries in the church. Somebody said I should tell that to people, she still loves me.
What are you saying?
And well, that's right. I'm gonna record her the next time she says it to me, okay? Just so you know. I said, you know what I told him? I said, I'm gonna have to bring my wife in here like next week or something like that and call her up front and then do a dip and lay it on her so you guys all know we're okay. Yeah, we're okay, man. We're good. The Song of Solomon is a good book for us. We're good. Did you read that? Would you read that, please?
I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Beware, lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware, lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit.
Get out the roots. They bear poisonous. And that's the same thing in Hebrews 12 and 15 about getting rid of... Go ahead, please read it.
See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
I want you all to go and be better gardeners. I would like a beautiful... What I tell my children is, I want my backyard to be a park-like setting. That's what I tell them. They never heard nothing like that. But I want it to be a park-like setting. And I want the image of God, right? We want the image of God to be good. I want my life to be an image of God that can give Him glory. And I hope that's what I'm praying for all of you, is that your life will be an image of God that gives Him glory. Amen. Brother, okay, let's pray. Dear God, would you please help us, Lord? We're in this world, and God, we need you. Can't make it by myself. I've tried way too many times. God, would you please help us as we leave out of this room? God, help us to think about things in our lives, God, that no one else may know about. Not even our moms, not our friends. But God, would you help us to remove and kill those things that are in our lives that can cause us damage. God, thank you that you show us, that you tell us what you want from us. God, would you help us to walk in that way? Help us to be a beautiful reflection of you. In Jesus' name, amen.